KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05 here this morning, we have 24 degrees as your temperature here at the KJN studios. We look for partly cloudy skies here today, and much warmer with southwest winds switching to the west at 10 to 20 miles per hour and a high of 42 here today. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 22. We expect a high of 42 coming up here tomorrow as well. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in news here on KJAN. In an update to our story on January 25th here on KJAN, the Iowa Freedom of Information Council has released more information about a settlement reached between the Riverside School District in western Iowa and the family of a 16-year-old girl who died in a 2017 school bus fire. The settlement figures, which had previously not been disclosed, show the school district will pay $4.8 million to the family of Megan Clint. Megan and the school bus driver, 74-year-old Donnie Hendricks, died after the bus became stuck in a ditch, leading to a fire in the engine compartment that spread to the passenger compartment. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports a recent theft arrest at approximately 12 p.m. on January 10th. 62-year-old Paul Wayne Norton of Bedford was caught in the act of taking rear wheel weights from a tractor sitting at County Peddler, 205800 Trail in Corning. Norton was arrested for theft in the fifth degree, and no further details were released at this time. Iowa Democratic Party officials have agreed to hire two high-profile lawyers to investigate the factors leading to a meltdown in the state's leadoff presidential caucuses and how the party responded. The party's state central committee voted Thursday night to spend up to $50,000 to retain Nick Kleinfeld, a former U.S. attorney, and Bonnie Campbell, a former Iowa attorney general. The Des Moines Register reports that officials hope the review will be completed within 45 days. The party has been reeling since the night of the caucuses February 3rd, when problems with a mobile app and other issues prevented it from immediately releasing results. And in other news here in the area, the Iowa DNR reports a drop in the number of deer taken by hunters this year. DNR wildlife biologist Tyler Harms says the drop coincides with the drop in the number of hunters.
We saw about a 3% drop in license sales and about a 14% drop in deer harvest statewide this year.
The deer taken dropped to 94,000 compared to nearly 108,000 the year before. Harms says an outbreak of disease is likely behind the drop in license sales.
We had a significant outbreak of epizootic hemorrhagic disease across the state, and that could have resulted in lower numbers of deer out on the landscape and ultimately resulting in lower harvest. We do know after an outbreak that we had in 2012 and 2013 that we saw similar trends in terms of license sales and harvest. So in other words, when we see these big EHD outbreaks statewide, we would expect to see a slight drop in both license sales and harvest.
Harm says some hunters want to help the deer recover from such outbreaks.
Our hunters are conservationists, and so when they perceive that there's a threat to the deer population, if they're seeing fewer deer, they're going to make decisions to not harvest deer, to not put that additional pressure on the deer population.
Harm says he expects future deer seasons will return to harvests of 100,000 or more. Said that the disease outbreaks cause some concern, but they monitor the deer population closely, both at local scales and also statewide. And he said, and we would anticipate, given what we know about the deer population status in Iowa currently, that the deer population would recover back to goal levels. The state also reported the most positive test for chronic wasting disease this season since it started testing, and Harm said that was also a concern. He said they're trying to gather more information on that situation. Harm says hunters have been very helpful in trying to manage the spread of CWD, and he says they can continue to do that by following some simple steps.
Like refraining from putting mineral licks or bait piles out for deer because that artificially congregates deer, which increases spread, and then also minimizing carcass transport.
He says transporting the carcass of deer that are infected can spread the disease. Landlords of larger apartment complexes in Iowa would have to disclose monthly utility costs to potential renters in a bill now in the state legislature. The proposal has already cleared the Iowa Senate with bipartisan support and is now up for consideration in the House. It would require owners of buildings with at least 12 units to provide a monthly estimate for all utilities before a full lease is finalized. Republican Senator Zach Nunn supports the measure. He says renters are often focused on just how much the rent will cost and sometimes are caught off guard when the utility bills arrive.
A lot of individuals might find themselves paying rent that is either affordable or right at their cap, only later to discover, once they're locked into a lease, that there's a very expensive utility bill associated with it because the property is not well maintained.
Nunn says if a prospective renter knows the utilities are costly, they might seek better options, but the bill is opposed by several groups, including the Iowa Landlord Association, which says it would place too much of a burden on landlords when renters can get that information from the utility companies. Nunn counters that landlords can get the information just as easily. He adds that providing it could also be beneficial to building owners because it gives them points for transparency.
Truth and transparency in a monthly cost for a renter is actually good for good landlords, and it's good for the energy efficiency of the state.
The Iowa Environmental Council is throwing its support behind the bill, saying it would convince more landlords to make upgrades that would reduce the carbon footprints of their properties. One person has died in a house fire in Spencer. Spencer's fire chief John Kanan says 22 firefighters spent 8 hours at the scene. This was on Thursday.
There was one rescue attempt made, but the person that was inside is deceased. We're still trying to determine whom that is, as well as the fire is under investigation this time with not only Spencer Fire Department, but as well as the state fire marshal.
Firefighters from the nearby community of Everly staffed the Spencer Fire Station that was a few blocks away from the burning house, and they did answer one call for service. It turned out to be a faulty furnace. The name of the victim has not been released. The 32 Republicans in the Iowa Senate have endorsed a proposed constitutional amendment that says the state's founding document does not protect abortion rights. Senator Zach Whiting is a Republican from Clear Lake, and he said ending life through the practice of abortion is the most egregious violation of human rights in the history of humanity. All 18 Democrats in the Senate, including Senator Eric Giddens of Cedar Falls, voted against the proposal. And the proposal says the Iowa Constitution shall not be construed to recognize, grant, or secure a right to abortion or to require the public funding of abortion. Republican Senator Randy Feenstra of Hull, who is running for Congress, says the proposal leaves it up to voters to decide if women should have a right to an abortion. And Feenstra asks, so what are you scared of? Are you scared that people are starting to see that these are humans? Senator Jackie Smith, a Democrat from Sioux City, says a proposed amendment is an extreme attack on women and their health care. She said, we're here discussing this amendment to the Constitution so you can take away the right to an abortion at your very first opportunity. A similar proposal did not come up for a vote in the Republican-led Senate last year, and last Thursday night, Governor Kim Reynolds tweeted her thanks for this year's Senate action. If the House passes the proposed amendment this session, it'll have to be passed again in 2021 or 2022 before it could be submitted to a vote of the people. If voters eventually approve, the amendment would make it easier for lawmakers to pass abortion restrictions in Iowa. That's a look at some of the latest in area news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here for you this morning. Durwood Purdy, age 94, of Fontenelle, died on Saturday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral and Masonic services for Durwood Purdy will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home has the arrangements. Joe B. Muherder, age 88, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Allen Place in Atlantic. Funeral services for Joe B. Muherder will be held today at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Doug Jensen, age 59, of Kimbleton, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Doug Jensen will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church near Jacksonville. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. James Zimmerman, age 72, of Griswold, died February 4th at home. Cremation has taken place. A mass of Christian burial for James Zimmerman will be held on Saturday here today at 11 a.m. at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Les Hills Funeral Home of Carson assisted the family with arrangements. Genevieve Wint Connor Bishop, age 96, of Lenexa, Kansas, and formerly of Audubon, died Sunday, February 9th, at the Greenwood Terrace Retirement Community in Lenexa. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Genevieve Bishop will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Ross Calvary United Methodist Church in Ross. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Walter McCurdy, age 87, of Messina, died Sunday at the Creston Specialty Care in Creston. A prayer service for Walter McCurdy will be held here today at 5 p.m. at the Eustine Funeral Home in Messina. Jeffrey Jeff Roberts, age 60, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Jeff Roberts will be held Sunday at 2 p.m. in the Exira Lutheran Church in Exira. Kessler or Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Marlene Radke, age 83, of New Glarus, Wisconsin, formerly of Manning, died Tuesday at the Villa Nursing Home in Middleton, Wisconsin. Services for Marlene Radke will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. OD Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. John Larry, age 75, of Messina, died Monday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for John Larry will be held Monday at 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Marie Lentz, age 88, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Marie Lentz will be held Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Sarah Catherine Johnson, age 37, of Stewart, died Wednesday at her home. Funeral services for Sarah Catherine Johnson will be held on Thursday at 10 a.m. at the All Saints Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home and Crematory Stewart Chapel has the arrangements. Richard Leroy Garrison, Sr., age 89, formerly of Harlan, died Thursday at the Russell Park Rehab and Living Center in Lewiston, Maine. Cremation will take place per his wishes, a celebration of life for Richard Garrison, Sr., and his wife, Ann, who passed away November of 2014, will be held later this summer in Lewiston. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.
We all need help from time to time, especially during life's health transitions, whether you're getting back on your feet or looking